Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Psalm 42, verse 7, Luke chapter 5, verse 4. While you're turning there, let me encourage you to be with us, to covenant to be with us the next three Wednesdays so that you hear all of this series. And as we go further, I believe that you're going to be blessed. And what I'm preaching tonight is definitely for every believer in the house, no matter where you are in your walk with God, no matter how new you are in your walk with God, what we're preaching tonight in the next 3 weeks is going, I believe, to impart and impact your life in some way. Let me also encourage you, become a note taker. Take notes. I thought I'd get a better amen than that. Amen. Become a note taker, either longhand or type it out on your smartphone, your tablet. When you put the Word of God in you, when you don't need it, it will be there when you do need it. Psalm 42, 7, deep calls unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Luke 5, verse 4, now when Jesus had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Turn to your neighbor and tell him five words will change your life. And let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. I want to preach for tonight for a few moments and for the next 3 weeks on the message, the series, Dive Deep. Turn to your neighbor and tell him we've got to go further. We've got to go deeper than we've ever been before. You may be seated. How many people in this room tonight you like to swim? Raise your hand. How many people here tonight can't swim? Raise your hand. The world we live in is covered by 70% of water. If you can't swim, you better learn how to swim. You never know when it's going to come in handy. 96.5% of the earth's water is found in the oceans. There's a story of a young man from the Midwest who had never left his state that was going to California to see his cousin. And when he got out of the airplane, he went the baggage claim, picked up his bag, went out, and his cousin was waiting there with the car, and he hopped in the car, and he said, cousin, what's the first thing you want to see in California? And the young man from the Midwest said, I want to see the Pacific Ocean. He said, I've heard how grand it is. I've heard how great it is. People talk about the sunsets. The sunsets are famous. Everybody talks about how beautiful the Pacific Ocean is. He said, I want to see it. And they pulled up to the beach. They got out and walked across the sand. And the cousin from California said to the cousin from the Midwest, what do you think? And the young man from the Midwest said, man, it is beautiful. It's huge. Look at all that water. To which his cousin from California replied, and that's just the top. If I could encourage believers here today, everything that you've seen from God, everything that you've experienced so far in your walk from God, as great as it is, I'm here to declare to you, it's just the top. It's just the surface level. It's just the beginning. It's just here at the start of it all. You say, well, I've been walking with God for 30 years. Well, guess what? There's another 30 in front of you. And God is not wanting you to stay in the shallow things. God is not wanting you to just praise and worship for that one season in your life. He's wanting to take you out farther than you've ever been. He wants to take you deeper than you've ever been. And it doesn't matter where you are in your walk with God, whether you've been saved for 8 minutes or 80 years, there's more to what you see in God than what you see in God. It's just the top. The Pacific Ocean, the Earth's deepest body of water, averages a depth of 13,000 feet. That's almost 3 miles straight down. The deepest place on Earth is known as Challenger Deep in the Mariana Trench. It goes down more than 36,000 feet. And scientists say more than 36,000 feet because that is as far as anybody has been willing to go. Can I encourage you with this, people of God? No matter what people say about how far you can go, they always limit you to how far they've been. But I'm here with a special group of people tonight that it's not how far they've been. And it's not how far the generation before us has been. And it's not how far somebody sitting next to you on a purple padded pew has been. You can go as far as you want to in God. There is no limit. There is no end. And I refuse to let somebody that has been a certain distance tell me that is as far as I can go. No, that's as far as you've gone. But it's not as far as I can go. How many gallons of water are in the Pacific Ocean? The Pacific Ocean has 70 million cubic miles of water. What that breaks down to is 187 quintillion, 189 quadrillion, 915 trillion, 62 billion, 857 million, 142,857 gallons of water in the Pacific. You don't see that in the Pacific Ocean. What you see is the top. The top represents 13,000 feet average of something underneath the surface. Can I encourage you, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to learn why we need to dive deep. We're going to learn how we need to dive deep. And I want to encourage you to take off all of the boxes and the borders and the definitions that we've placed on God and what He's able to do. And can I encourage you that there is a lot more underneath than you see on the surface. The surface is the appetizer. It is the taste test. You say, Pastor Brandon, look how beautiful that sunset is. Oh, but if you'd ever get underneath the water, if you'd ever be willing to dive a little deeper, God's going to show you something greater. What we have experienced so far in our lives as believers, in our life as a church, I believe is just the top. It's just the surface. It's just the shallow water. I'm 37 years old. I've been preaching 19 years, and I feel like the man standing on the brink of the Pacific Ocean, and I'm just saying, this is just the top. There's so much more. I'm just getting started, and I hope that that zeal that I have is contagious to you, that no matter how you are, whether you are a young man or whether you are a Caleb, that you understand that there is more to possess, that there is more in front of you than what is behind you. You say, I'm 85 years old. So was Caleb, but Caleb's best season of his life started at 85. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. If you love God, you want to go deeper in God. If you love Jesus, you don't want a superficial relationship. You want a relationship that is going to produce sons and daughters and all of the good things that God has for us. If you love Him, you're going to get excited about the things your eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, or that your heart hasn't even put into words yet. And you're going to say, God, there has to be something more. And whether my church goes with me or not, whether my family goes with me or not, I'm going to dive deeper and get to know you on a greater level, get to experience you on a greater level. Somebody say amen. There's so much more we have yet to discover. Some of us don't have because we've never searched. We've never done what it takes to dive deep, or perhaps dive deeper. This is what Paul would write to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 3, 8, the New Living Translation. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. The endless, the inexhaustible wealth and riches and treasures of God are only found in Christ. That means outside of Christ, there is definite borders to what you can have, to what you can do, to what you can become. But when you say yes to Jesus and you invite Him to be the Savior and Lord of your life, it changes everything. when you said yes to Jesus, the warehouse of God opened up to you. And the warehouse of God, Paul says here, it does not have an end. It is an endless treasure. It is an endless treasury. Can I encourage you tonight? Ask bigger of God, because God does not have to rob me to bless you. God does not have to rob one church to pour into another church. He has an endless treasury. Why is God's treasury endless? Because he's a creative God. If he ever did start running out, he would create more. If he ever did start running low, he'd speak another creative word. I've come to tell somebody today in February, for the next 11 months of your life, if you will dive deep, if you will get to know Jesus in a greater way, you are going to see Jesus in a new way. Endless treasures. Endless treasures. Banks have their limits. People have their limits. God has no limits. There are no boundaries. The surface is what causes us sometimes to think that that's all that there is. But if I could remind you, like the Midwest boy, there is so much more under the surface. You say, when you talk about under the surface, what do you mean? There's so much more to God than Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. There's so much more to worship than your favorite style of worship and two favorite songs. There's more to prayer than a list of 8 demands that you have given to God like you are negotiating with Santa Claus. So much more. Isn't it amazing that the more that you know somebody, the more that you find out about them, good, bad, ugly, indifferent. But the more I know about God, the more that I find that I love him even more, because there's nothing bad about him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is growing in power. He is all powerful. There's no one like him. And so the more I get to know him, the more that it excites me. I said, God, I didn't know that about you, but it's always blessing and for my benefit as a believer. There are so many reasons why people don't go deeper. There's a lot of reasons why people don't go deeper. Number one, the number one reason people don't go deeper is because of their comfort level. They're comfortable. Going deeper takes too much work. Going deeper takes a part of my energy that I might not be willing to put in. See, it's very easy for us on a Wednesday night to shout about the $250,000 blessing that God has brought to Living Way. But then when we start talking about our lives and that it's not just going to be dumped in our lap, but it's going to take prayer, it's going to take service, it's going to take walking by faith when it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, and we get comfortable on the beaches of life, and we get comfortable throwing out that one little rod and reel trying to fish, and I'm here to tell you, there's some things that God wants to do in each of our lives that are not going to come on the banks of the ocean, that are not going to come on the coastline. You're going to have to find yourself a boat. You're going to have to find yourself some people in your boat, and you're going to have to launch out into the deep so that you can get what God has called you to get. So the number one reason we don't is because we're comfortable. It's just too much work. Pastor, it's just too much to come to church 2 or 3 times a week. I always tell parents, it's very easy to bring your young people one day a week on Wednesday night, or 2 days a week to Wednesday and Sunday school and Catalyst Kids or to Catalyst Youth. You can do that, or you can drive to Huntsville State Penitentiary. Which would you rather do? I'd rather pull myself through and drop them off at the church house. You say, man, it's just too much to worship. It's just too much to praise. No, you don't understand. It's just what we need to do, because praise and worship builds a relationship with God that allows me to go deeper, so that when I need something from God, I'm not trying to bargain with God because I haven't been talking to him. I'm talking to God saying, God, let's go deeper. This is what I need. And God says, yeah, I'll give that to you, because we're tight like that. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it takes work. The number two reason we don't launch out into the deep, let's be honest, it's fear. There's sharks out there. My father-in-law is an avid fisherman, which made me, when I first started dating Mandy, an avid fisherman. Y'all remember those days where you faked enjoyment of things because you were trying to close the deal called marriage? Brandon, you like to fish? You bet I like to fish, Ron. Let's do it. See, my fishing was always done on the banks of creeks, on little stock ponds and tanks that I could take my little $20 Walmart reel and reel in them little catfish. And then when I showed up with Ron, there wasn't none of that. And I love my father-in-law. But my father-in-law wants you to fish the way he fishes. There's none of this, no, I got it, Ron. No, you don't got it, because that's not how I do it. So he's teaching me how to do his knots. He's teaching me how to cast. And so I remember he said, you want to do some bay fishing? I said, sure, let's do some bay fishing. I'm thinking we're going to stand on the bay and fish. We get there, and he's got all kinds of equipment and gear. And he said, we're actually going to do surf fishing. I said, ah, that sounds great. Surfing and fishing sounds like a whole lot of fun. Remember, I'm trying to close the deal. He said, I've got some special sunglasses for you. He said, these sunglasses cut off the sun rays that are bouncing off of the Gulf down in Port A. And he said, you're going to be able to see under the water. You're going to be able to see some sand and sandbars. He said, you can't see it now, but he said, about 100 yards. Hold on a second. He said, 100 yards from where we stand today, he said, there are two sandbars. He said, we're going to walk until we can't walk anymore. We're going to swim to one sandbar. And then we're going to swim again to the next. We're talking about 100 yards out. I'm looking in them glasses. I'm looking at Ron. I'm thinking about Mandy. Oh, my God, I better do it. And man, we're out there. And let me tell you something about me and Ron. We're not built for swimming, y'all. We're swimming. We're walking. We're doing all that. We get to the first sandbar, and he said, no, we got to go further. Swim out, second sandbar. I was good, y'all. I was good until I felt something hit my leg. And when something hit my leg, I started speaking in tongues, Japanese, Spanish, French, Dutch, everything. And I said, God, if you want me to marry Mandy, you're going to have to make it happen another way, because I am done. I'm throwing the fishing pole. I'm screaming. I'm hollering. I could have beat Michael Phelps back to the coast. I promise you that. All because of fear. Then there's this thing called Shark Week. You watch Shark Week and you just think there's big old great whites down in Corpus. You just guarantee it. Pastor Mandy, she snorkeled on the Bermuda Triangle and all that, but now you can't barely get us to take a bath instead of a shower. It's getting difficult. All because of fear. Fear changes the way that you perceive things. Look at this water here. Go back to the Pacific Ocean. See, some people see sunsets and they say beautiful. Some people say, oh man, there's some big kingfish, there's some big mackerel, there's some big tuna out there that I'd love to eat. Other people look at this and say, my God, those waters are infested with shark, whether they are or not. And we're laughing, but how many times has God called us to deeper waters and we start manufacturing demons? Come on now. We start manufacturing reasons why we're not going to do it. Well, what if I fail? What if I get eaten by a shark? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if it doesn't happen? What if there's no sharks in any of that water and the devil's been messing with your mind to keep you in place and to keep you stagnant and to stop you from doing or becoming what God has called you to be? Can I tell you today, we are doing away with fear in this house. What would happen if you could live 24 hours without any fear of failure? What could happen if you could go 2 months without fearing rejection, without fearing falling, without fearing drowning? What would happen for an entire year if you learn not to give fear and understand that fear is a liar and is running out of breath and cannot stop? What would happen if you just said, I'm going to launch out anyway? If he can close the mouth of a lion, he can close the mouth of a shark. We serve the God that created the shark, created the water, created me. I'm on top of the food chain, and nothing's going to eat me. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, no fear. Number three, third reason, lack of resources. They don't have a boat. Have you ever met somebody that explained their situation with an excuse as to why they were like they are. Well, I didn't have the dad you had. I wasn't raised in church. We never had any money. I went through this, 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 and this. What they're really saying is God has called me to go deeper. God has called me to go further, but God didn't look at my situation. God didn't look at my lack of resources. When God calls you to deep, He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly what you have and what you don't have. He knows exactly what side of the tracks you were born on. He knows exactly what happened to you at 9 years old, at 15 years old, at 23 years old. He knows exactly how many times you've been rejected. He knows how many times you've tried to kill yourself. He knows how many suicidal thoughts you've had. And listen, as much as God loves us, He does not allow us to use those reasons or excuses. Why? Because God said, if I called you to the deep, I'm going to build you a boat. I'm going to make sure somebody puts you on their boat. I'm going to make sure somebody gives you a boat. But if I've called you here, I'm going to make sure you have the resources to get there. And number four, finally, one of the reasons that we don't go deeper, simply ignorance. They don't know that there's more. They're like the Midwest man. I didn't know that there was more. I'd heard about it, but I hadn't seen it. Once I saw it, I was impressed. And then cousin had to remind him, cousin, there is more under the surface than what you see. You're just seeing what you see with your eyes as far, but that ocean goes farther than you can see, goes deeper than you can see. Church of God, there's more. People of God, there's more. Believers, there's more. You say, I'm living my best life now. There's a better life than your best life. Just because it's new to you doesn't mean it's the end all. It doesn't mean it's the destiny or the destination that God has had. Church, we have been far too comfortable on the beach for too long, splashing in the shallow water. It is time. Deep is calling to deep. It's time that we dive deep and say, God, I'm not just going to say there's more. I'm going to dive in and get all you have for me. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God. This is David. This is David in a time of desperation. When you read the entire 42nd Psalm, he said, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have become my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? Wow. But he said, I've got this desire. Said, I'm panting. I'm desiring you in a new way. To dive deep, there must be a divine desire. Write that down. Divine desire. Desire says these three things. Number one, desire says, there is more than what I know. Desire to God says, there's more that you have for me than what I even know. The Bible says deep calls to deep. Sometimes, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, sometimes the shallow part of us doesn't understand what the deep of God is saying to us. Because it's never been that far. That's far. That's why faith has to take over and say, God, what you're saying to me doesn't make sense, but God is talking from a deep place to shallow people. So the first thing that desire says is there's more than what I know. The second thing it says is there's more than what I see. I'll be honest with you. The devil will try to trip you up when somebody you know is blessed. Somebody gets their breakthrough. Somebody gets their car, their house, has their baby, finds their soulmate, whatever it is. And the devil tries to get you mad at that. And I'm here to tell you, you should not say, God, I want that. What you should really say is, God, I want more. You bless them. I don't want what they have. I want what you have for me. And what they have is great for them, but it's not what you have for me. And what you have for them, God, it's great, but there is greater, more than what I see. So to the family that has just had a $110,000 check put in your lap, I applaud, I praise. I'm so excited for you, and I want you to praise God, worship God, thank God. But I want to tell you, don't get comfortable in February in the $110,000. Why? There's more.
For the person that has had their breakthrough in their healing and you finally don't have that pain anymore, or the doctors were able to help, or God just supernaturally healed you and you said, for the first time in my life, I don't have that pain. Rejoice, get excited about it. But remember, that's not the end all. There is more. There's more than what we know, what we see. Desire says this. I love this. There's more than what I have. I'm thankful for what I have, but faith says there's more. I'm thankful for where God has brought me from, but there's more. I'm thankful for a relationship, a marriage of 16 years with the woman of my dreams, but there's more for our relationship than what we live now. I'm thankful that I've got two kids that are at least in church and are above average in my life, but there is more. Not more children, more for my current children. I want to clean that up. There's more than what I know. There's more than what you see. There's more than what we have. It's found in the deep waters. It's found when you lose sight of the shore. Come on now. It is found when we get uncomfortable and the sharks are bumping us and there's blood in the water and I look back and I can't see the shore anymore and I look back and I can't see what was comfortable to me. And it's funny, the deeper you go, the less people are out there. God, I want to go further. I want to go deeper. Verse 4, these things remember I as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God and praise the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I yet will praise Him, my Savior and my God. Here is deep now, the deep part of David, not superficial praise. Not thank you, Lord, for the dollar an hour raise. That's great, but he's saying, from the depths of my despair, I praise and worship you. There is a deepness here. My soul is downcast, therefore I will remember the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. What he's saying is, I remember everything you've done to bring me to this point. Verse 7, deep calls deep. Deep calls deep. The depths of God speaks to the depths of us. In closing, if I could just share this with you, many times we don't understand what God is saying because he's speaking to the deep part of us. Not the shallow part. He speaks in riddles sometimes, not to trick us, but so that we have to focus. He said, I speak in parables so that they won't know. Come on now, church. There's some things I say that aren't meant for shallow waters. There's some things I say, come on now, that aren't meant for shallow people. There's some things I'm saying, God is saying this, that I don't mean for shallow believers that are just there for the big times and the big services and the big names and the Hollywood preachers and the TV preachers. He said, there's some things that I say that they're not going to understand and they're going to shake their head and walk away. But for the Peters and the James and the Johns that want to go deeper with me, he said, I'll go deeper with you, but you're going to have to leave everything you've known. You're going to have to travel with me and follow me and be a follower of me. And when you are a follower of me, I will show you kingdom code. I will show you kingdom talk. I will show you what I have created you to be. I've had people tell me, are you one of those Holy Ghost preachers? Yes, I am. You got one of those Holy Roll churches? Yes, we do. You know you don't need the Holy Ghost. That's the shallow part of them talking about the deep part of us. Listen what I'm going to say. This is going to help somebody. I don't make fun of the three-year-old I don't make fun of the three-year-old. I don't make fun of the three-year-old that wears these. Just because they haven't learned to swim like me doesn't mean that I denigrate them at all. But it also doesn't mean that they're going to understand everything that I do. And if they try, come on now, people.
if they try to understand what I do, they'll drown. And so I don't waste my time talking in the shallow end with shallow people. I go and unanchor my boat, and I launch out into the deep places God has called me to be. You know why these look silly on me? Because they weren't meant for 245-pound, 37-year-old men. They were made for 30-pound little girls and little boys that are learning how to swim. That's why Paul would say, when I became a man, I put away childish things. I don't think, talk, and reason like a child. But he said, I swim like a man. I go deep. And so listen, there are some people in your life that are going to make fun of your depths, not going to understand your depths, and even question your depths. But don't quit swimming to talk to the people in their floaties. Keep swimming, keep diving, keep launching, go further, go deeper than you've ever been before. Stand on your feet. Bishop doesn't know how to swim. He doesn't. Doesn't know how to swim. I'm just going to throw that out there. I think he does. Because he was raised on farms and ranches where they had the creeks and the rivers and all the tanks and all that. But he says he doesn't know how to swim. So every once in a while, when we were kids, he'd come out and he'd sit in the shallow end and he'd walk around in the shallow end. But he never stayed too long, because there's certain things that aren't very fun when you're a grown person. I was going to say an old person, an older person. I'm talking about when I was a little kid. So you stay in the shallow for a moment, then you get up and you say, there's not much here. But me and my brother, once we learned to swim and dive off the diving board and cannonballs and all that, we stayed out until mom would make us come in, because we found the deep waters fun. Listen to what we found the deep waters challenging. We learned how to dive. We would learn how to hold our breath. We would learn things about ourselves under the water that we did not know were there, were capable of. I want to encourage somebody today. The deep waters are challenging, but they're rewarding. You say, I don't know if I can continue to do what I'm doing. That's because you've been in the shallow waters too long. It's become boring to you. But God's great things are never found in the shallow. They're not found where you can reach them from the banks. You have to give God all of your faith in a moment and say, God, I'm uncomfortable. This does not feel right to me, but I'm learning about you and I'm learning about myself. I want to open up this altar right now. I'm out of time and we got 3 more weeks to unpack this further. But if you want to join Heather right now in this altar, I want you to leave your seat. If you're ready to dive deep, if you're ready to go further, if you're ready to say more than just words, but say it with your spirit, I want more of God. I want more of who He is. I want more of what He has for me. I need you to leave where you are, and I need you to get ready to dive deep. Some of you are taking off the floaties in the spirit, taking them off, saying, God, I've tried to do it my way. I've been too scared to launch out. I've been too scared to go deeper. Now is your time. You are getting ready to lose sight of the shore, and it's going to be unnerving this week. It's going to be sometimes not scary, but it's going to be uncomfortable to you this week. But I'm here to tell you, there is a God that called you out, and if He called you out, He's going to take care of you in the deep waters. If you're in this house today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, this is the story of Simon Peter changing his life, receiving Christ. Before you can go to deep places in God, you're going to have to accept Christ. Not as a teacher, not as a rabbi, but Lord of all, King of kings, Lord of lords. When you say yes to Jesus, you now have the ability and option to leave the shallow places of life and go to the deep places. I didn't have a chance to get there, but deep waters carry good fish, big fish, new fish. And I believe that as you launch out today and say, God, I'm in this for relationship. I'm in this for the deep places, Jesus. Deep things that you're going to speak into my life. I want to understand what you're saying to me. We're going to have that prayer. We're going to make that happen right now. If you need Jesus, if you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, if you'd like to be baptized in water, now is the time. I'm going to step off this platform. I am way over time. I'm going to stand. I'm going to pray. But I believe that as you have stood in this altar today, that you are living.